Yippee!
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 What's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lo de die le du mare.
Hello? Holy shit, this is really fucking doing it. I got a fucking metronome going. I got, oh, this bar going across. I can see my voice on this screen. It's under live performance. This is as fucking scary as you get. Like, I got a fucking, I'm getting stage fright, man. Stop it. Stop it now.
Anyway, so this guy Kent was there, although he's known as Scarborough Dude, and he has a podcast called Dixon James, and I listened to it yesterday, and it is, again, I remember I was saying that shit about honesty. It's just like, he just fucking just, like, goes out there, and I think it's the most honest setup as well. I was having this discussion with him. All he has is a fucking iPod and, lapel mic by Griffin, and he just records that shit straight off, and then he, like, apparently plugs it into iMovie, which I was just like, oh yeah, whatever works, man, it's cool. And it's the simplest setup in the universe, you know? No fucking pop screen like this. No big expensive fucking bullshit. It's just like, just get it out there and fucking, it's the content that matters, and I've always fucking believed that. So this book that I'm reading, okay?
Well, sorry. Listen, if you want to hear about the book that Julian was talking about, tune into his show. It's In Over Your Head Radio. You can't miss it. It's a great show. And I'm not brown-nosing here and trying to get brownie points, you know, because he said nice things about me and my show. I'm just saying it's great. It's really entertaining. I've been listening for a long time, and I get into the lyrics of the songs he's singing, but I also just get that energy rush just listening to Julian. It was refreshing, and it really was a treat. Meeting the guy faced ugly face on last Friday. And it's kind of funny because all this is, everything changes as this goes along and happens. And as of today, after that, him talking about me telling him I did the whole show in iMovie, and it has worked up till now, up until the last podcast when the sound went crappy on me and I couldn't rebuild it, and it was taking hours to export it into a format that iTunes could read, and then I'd have to convert it again to MP3. So what I'm doing now is I'm shouting at the face of my computer into GarageBand, and I think as of this show, this is a historic moment, folks. Dixon James Podcast number 26. I may move to something proper like GarageBand. Still don't have a microphone. I'm shouting at the computer. I know there's a mic somewhere. I can't even see the damn thing. This is my desktop iMac. I've got a little iBook too, which I sometimes use. But for now, I'm looking at graphs and shapes and colors, and it's a bit, it's not what I'm used to, you know. So this is gonna smell just a little bit. It's gonna have that fresh new smell of some guy pushing all the buttons and not quite sure how it works. But that's not going to last too long, and I'm not going to let this get in the way, all right? Promise you. I'm going to get back to my roots and the simple stuff soon, but I just got to get started on this and find my way around. So bear with me, and thanks, Julian, for those, you know, million-dollar words. That really meant a lot, and it's funny because, I mean, I remember reading a Macworld. Well, you can't do it with an iPod. You just simply can't put out a podcast. And it just, you know, my attitude was, well, fuck you. Who says I can't? It's certainly never going to have the quality that that some people are looking for, but my show's not going to have the quality some people are looking for, you know? You sort of buy into this or you don't. And that's where we're going. Anyway, I'm going to be back at you once I collect my thoughts and find out if this thing's actually recording or not. Catch you later.
welcome to another Dixon Jane's Shavecast. I'm finding it hard to find the time to do a podcast and not feel guilty because of the million other things that I should be doing. Like, there's a lot. Work-related, family-related, just stuff around the house. There's so much I should be doing. So the idea of sitting out in the back on the deck and doing another podcast, you know, I'm going to end up doing that anyway, but I'd feel a little shitty. But right now, I have to shave anyway, so why not? Shave and talk at the same time, and nothing's lost that way. So bear with me. And we'll get started. I guess this will be Dixon Jane's podcast number 26. I've probably had a few clips before this. I think I was going to play Julian back then. And I got a few things I want to talk about. And that's this about this podcast community. I've been really going on and on and on about this. I'm really big on community. I'm sort of like, I'm not that great a neighbor. I don't do a whole lot in my own community, but I did my bit, you know, the school council. I was the first chair for that, and show up at meetings and so on. So yeah, I do my stuff, you know, and keep in touch with the neighbors and that kind of thing. But the podcast community, I really like this idea. It reminds me a lot of what I was trying to do with the Dixon Jane's community, and of course, that was just something different entirely. That was a group of friends just trying to keep in touch through this newsletter, which, by the way, if anybody's really interested in seeing a back issue, those who were not at the Montreal Podcasters Gathering, I do have a few copies, and if you send me an email and a mail and address, and just a little brief reason why you'd like it, like not just give me one, but a little more than that, or an audio clip or a comment on the show, I'd be happy to send you a copy. Okay? So the email, just go to my blog, do a search for Dixon Janes, DixonJanes, or email DixonJanes@rogers.com and you'll find me. But back to this community. I think it's very cool. And what I've mentioned, I guess, when I was talking with friends, I like listening to local, well, not necessarily local, no, cross-country, but Canadian podcasts. And I think the reason is I can relate to the people doing the shows, but more than that, also feel I'm in touch with a real person. And that's what's important. I mentioned Chub Creek before, and I think later I'll go through a whole list of who I do listen to on a regular basis, and maybe why. But things like the popular ones, Keith and the Girl, the Don and Drew show, I gave up. I mean, I just don't listen to these shows, and I haven't for a long time, because I'm never going to reach those real people. They're never going to be friends, in a way. They're out for a big audience, and I don't think they're being entirely sincere. And I'm more interested, maybe partly an age thing, and people putting themselves out there and being who they really are and being sincere about it. And I think a lot of the podcasts I listen to are doing that, and I'm certainly trying to do that with my own. God, this may be really boring, and for that I'm sorry, but I guess I'm trying to explain what podcasting means to me. And it means sincerity, and it means integrity, and it means a chance to really jump on this new way of communicating and reaching a lot of people and being touched by others. So, that's what I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah, and following that, okay. With that, I wanted to get into this concept of obligation, and I would never want anybody to feel they have to say something a bit nice about my show because I've said something nice about theirs, or they have to listen to mine, or put a link up from my show because my feelings will be hurt. If I said a nice thing, now you got to be my friend because I want to be your friend. That's just bullshit. If somebody likes my show, that's great. I'm thrilled. I mean, any podcast, I tell you, it's such a rush hearing yourself, your show mentioned on another podcast you listen to, that's great. And it's wonderful, and I'm happy, and I encourage it. Please, I love it. But I would never, ever want someone to feel obliged, like they kind of have to do that. It's like you owe something, because that's bullshit. And it's two ways. The same way, you know, I'll mention who I listen to and so on, but I'm not going to go and plug every show all the time. Some shows are going to be better than others. I mean, within the same show, you know, one week might be great, another week might be a little bit down, just as mine are. And it's just not necessary for people to feel they have to put a link up. I only want people to do that, and I'll only do that if I really believe it's worthy. And if I've got links up there, it is because I do like the shows. Bob and AJ, Catfish, and the Zedcast, and the Okazoo. And again, it's because I'm interested in these people. It's not just about the show. It's not about the flash or pizzazz. It's about who they are and following the story. And that's just a lot of fun. So I guess that's my bit. I guess that's my rant. Gee, I thought somehow before I said this, I thought it was really important. And now that I've spit it all out, it seems totally insignificant and meaningless. And I've just wasted your time. So for that, I'm sorry, folks. But hey, I am trying to be honest. I am trying to shoot from the hip is not a very good expression. But just speak off the cuff. That's what I do. There's no notes. There's no preparation. I just, if I think of something, I'll open my mouth and start talking. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's what you get. So that's it from the Scarborough Dude here on a beautiful, glorious Tuesday morning in September. How I love the fall. And I hope you're enjoying it too. Enjoy this fine weather, because we know, us Canadians, what's coming. If it's not raining on the West Coast, it's going to be snow here and cold. So that's it. And by the way, please write in, call in, send a, you know, an MP3 greeting. But just love to hear from it. Love to know who's out there. And if there's any new members or new listeners, write in. Tell me about yourself. Special ho to the Chub Creek mom, because I understand she listened to at least one show. And I think that's pretty neat. Oh, hello. And off I go. Time for a shower. Thank you for joining me in my shave. Looking good. Nice and smooth. Yeah. Bye-bye. Don't do you call me?
Okay, folks, we're going to do something a little different now. I'm sitting back, facing my computer, talking into Audacity. I don't have a microphone yet, so... oh, shit, there goes the phone. Hang on. Hello? Hello? Yes? You speaking? Okay. Now, where the hell were we? Oh, yeah, something a little different. I was going to read to you an email that I got from my good friend, Wizzy. I nicknamed him the Wizard, but that's probably not the best of names. But anyway, he's my buddy who I was with in Nigeria, although he lived at the other end of the country. He was in Gongola State. I was in Bendel State. Well over 20 years ago. But we've always kept in touch, and I've mentioned he is probably the most creative and best teacher I know, and unfortunately this guy's going to get shafted. He teaches at a private school, and at the end of it, he's probably going to walk away with almost nothing. And all the teachers who do a half-assed job, forgive me, in the system here in Ontario are walking away with the fattest pensions on this planet. And anyway, so I feel kind of sorry for a guy like that. It's just tough. But... hey, I'm in the same. I meant to ask, by the way, if anybody out there had a spare $10,000 or so I could really do with it. And, you know, I won't grovel or beg, but it'd go to good use, you know. $100,000, even nicer, but what the heck, you know. No tip jars. I'm not interested in your dollars and nickels and dimes here and there, but, well, let's say $5,000 minimum. And that'd be a nice little gift. That'd be a pleasant thank you. So if anybody's out there knows somebody who has too much money and would like to see it put to good use, the Scarborough dude would make good use of it. Anyway, back to the Wizard. I'm going to read out his email from back in August, I guess, when I got it. And maybe I'll let Audacity disguise the voice just a little bit so it sounds like somebody else. Oh, shouldn't have told you that. Anyway, here goes.
Anyway, good podcast. We've experienced the same changes out here on the left coast, too. Hey, Trudeau traveled the world and loved the people of the world. We are living inside his policy, his dream. By the year 2025, more than 50% of the Lower Mainland, this is Vancouver, guys, will be comprised of people that have come from Asia. I do hope they have worked out a better ESL strategy by then. Actually, I'd be happy if they were actually thinking about it. One of the problems that I have with multiculturalism is that it is predicated on the assumption that all people have a distinct culture. The irony, of course, is that the last few generations of Canadians have never been very clear about this, have bemoaned the lack of a Canadian identity. With all these new cultures based on 1,000 or more years of social fine-tooling, it does place some of us at an ambiguous disadvantage. By way of an example, the economic structure of the extended family is a bit devastating to a single-person household. I used to think that the double-income family was pricing me out of existence. Having a household in which six adults are contributing to the financial well-being of the home creates a lot of SUVs and huge houses and soaring property costs. Not great for someone like myself trying to find a place to own rather than rent. I think that there's a stronger sense of culture in Quebec and Ontario, but it is quite vague out here. I sometimes have to laugh at the absurdity of people in the Lower Mainland who believe that ice hockey is their national sport. What a joke. It hardly ever snows here. It's not like my father who, growing up in Toronto, used to slap on his skates to play outdoors with whomever showed up at the local park. It's not like those soccer players in Nigeria who, as barefooted boys, freely kicked about a tin can in the red, dusty laterite. In the Lower Mainland, it is an arena sport, and that means a crap load of expensive equipment, pushy parents hovering about, and a coach yelling, "Get off the ice quickly, because the next hour is booked." I only remember middle-class kids playing hockey when I was a kid. Working-class parents just couldn't afford it. Should I drop the puck here? Why not? Hockey isn't very Canadian anyway. From my reading, I understand that the modern event is largely the byproduct of American marketing. It seems that when ice hockey was first introduced in the United States, the first arena was Madison Square Gardens, traditionally a boxing arena. The promoters were hoping to pull in the same crowd, so gooning was encouraged. They advertised the players as men with clubs in their hands and knives on their feet. The virus spread from there. Just as an aside, why isn't there a parental warning before the telecast of sporting events? Let's face it, the violence is real, and with a person like Todd Bertuzzi on the ice, you're watching a potential snuff event. So how Canadian is hockey anyway? And if ice hockey, arguably our sole cultural touchstone from sea to shining sea, is in doubt, what the hell does it mean to be Canadian? What happens when the people without a cultural perspective sit down with the people who are only driven by cultural values? My experience is that those without a specific worldview don't care all that much, abandon the spoons and use their right hands to eat the pounded yam in a goosey soup. Like the populations of the world, areas of higher concentration flow into areas of lower concentration, into an area of opportunity. When I arrived at Kano International Airport, Nigeria, for my 3-year stint as a teacher, I had a purple shoulder bag, full stop. It was nice not having a lot of baggage, cultural or otherwise, to haul around. Our neighbors, and the spell-checking program is telling me that I have just spelled the last word incorrectly, that's N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R-S, which the Americans don't like, to the south have steamer trunks of right and wrong bulging in their heads. From kindergarten to graduation ceremony, they are taught to look upwards and salute as the back end of a flagpole is rammed down their throats. I suppose it could be worse. They could be told to bend over. Maybe Trudeau felt that we should be forced to define the overculture in the presence of, I hesitate to use the word, foil, a contrast. Personally, since my Canada has been about the individualism that comes from isolation, maybe that is my birthright. Like yourself, I have to say what I feel. And so what? I guess I'm an acculturalist. I know that my African colleagues used to laugh at me in our Nigerian staff room. There was always a unified roar of merriment, and then someone would hoot, "You are a free thinker, Mr. Mack." Hell, I laughed at that, too.
Well, thank you very much. That was a letter written by this good friend I've been telling you about for a long time, who is also a poet and a writer, and sends me a lot of the music I use on this show, too. So, hey, thanks very much, guy. And let's play that back and hear what it sounds like. Well, thanks, Wizzy. But, gee, now I maybe should try and explain what it is I just read, because when I listened to it, I'm not sure I understood everything. But you are saying that we are being swamped. The Lower Mainland will have a population 50% from Asia with their own culture already, and you're sort of bemoaning the fact that Canadians always claim we don't have a sense of culture, especially even more so out on the West Coast. And I agree with that. I think we've really got to work on this. We really have to stand up and talk about what it is we believe, our values. I know we've talked about that when we talked about just the issue of the long arm of the American law arresting our pot smokers, our pot advocates. This, I think, is a Canadian value. We believe in the right of individuals to smoke pot. But I know that may sound superficial to some, but I think it's a very fundamental and a very important point to make. It's a lot more than that, of course. We believe in peace and many more things. But anyway, the point is, I think we do have to talk about that more. And that's when I mentioned earlier about the community of podcasters. I find I have a lot in common with the people I listen to. Anyway, you went on from there how hard it was for you when six incomes are coming into a big home and you're a loner on your own with a half an income. It's pretty hard to make ends meet. You talked about hockey and how we like to think it's a Canadian, part of our Canadian identity, and it's a joke out west, number one, because it doesn't snow or get cold, and only rich kids can afford to go and play indoors, and I think you're right on there. It's very different from the times of your father and even our generation, when you could just strap on your skates and go out and play on a rink. Not anymore. And also how the Americans have taken over the sport and maybe changed the nature of a little bit so it's more of a show, more of a fight. And then you talked about carrying around all the cultural baggage, and you went to Nigeria, I guess, with an open mind, a shoulder bag, and that was it. Not a lot of preconceptions, and that's terrific. And I think that's the way I went to Japan, too. So, anyway, great letter. I appreciate that. And want to hear more. But next time, how about if you read it out instead, okay? Hey, I got to go. My computer's making funny noises. Thanks. Okay, I better jump in here and introduce a couple of songs. That little jazz piece you heard around the time when I was shaving and in the background, That was Straight No Chaser by Thelonious Monk. And kind of liked that one, and I thought it kind of fit because we were talking about no bullshit with the podcasts and straight up and all that stuff. And that was followed by a great song from one of the uncut CDs that come with the Uncut magazine, and that was, hang on, All I Want to Know by the Magnetic Fields. And I love that song. And now I'm going to play something a little different. This is a tape from Nigeria. Hang on, it started already. Sorry about that. It's called Chief Odonaji, and it's by Sir Waziri Oshima. And this was a local band, and of the kind of music you hear all the time in Nigeria. It was just wonderful. There was music everywhere, and the songs went on forever. This one's about 10 minutes long, relatively short, but I may put it into the background, I don't know, because I think I'd lose a lot of my listeners. The quality is lousy. It was from a vinyl disc. A friend of mine went into the record shop and had a tape made for me. I got a tape that's over 20 years old. I tried digitizing it, so came up with a few songs, but it ain't professional quality, and it wasn't to start with either, so think of what it's been through. But anyway, when you hear it, it's great, great stuff. So I think I'll talk about that a little more, either partway through the song or afterwards. But here's something real from Nigeria you have never heard before.
Yes, I'm When we went to yellow or Naja, Kaji, a boy, a gentleman, a moon, a bon, noir, a yell.
Yes, on,
Well, what can I say, eh? That was Sir Waziri Oshima, and that kind of music we heard all the time, especially in the south of Nigeria where I lived. The north was more Muslim, a little more traditional, a little more, a few more rituals you had to go through. The south was wild and suited me perfectly, especially amongst the crazy Yoruba, and I can say that, that's not an insult. These people were wild and they liked wahala, which just meant a big fuss over everything. And I just fit right in there. I told Terrence, or Terrence asked, you know, when are you going to talk about Nigeria? So here it is. I'm just briefly going to get into it because, I mean, it would take me forever. That was a two-year chunk of my life, and it was probably the most important 2 years, or the most, oh, I don't know, the deepest. I felt, one time I described it, it's like being on acid every single day. Like you just never came down. It was just your senses. You're just, oh, you're immersed in this new world. And I loved it. And I love the people. And I just had a blast. And that includes, you know, getting malaria about 4 or 5 times, getting horribly sick, being in pain and discomfort, and being lonely and sinking to new depths in my life. Maybe that's what I celebrate. But I guess one of the things that stood out in that song that I told you, by the way, I just could not talk over that song. So maybe I lost a few listeners. That's fine. That was pretty rich stuff. But you danced all the time, and I'm not a dancer, and I danced more in the 2 years I spent in Nigeria than in the rest of my life, you know, added up. It was just constant, and it was men dancing with men, and women with women, and men and women and men in groups, and it didn't matter. And you danced to songs like that, you know, you'd take a 10-minute song, 50-minute song, you just got up on the dance floor, and you just moved, and you moved the way that felt right, that felt comfortable. You got into a groove, you know, where you weren't doing steps, you weren't showing off, you weren't trying to prove anything, you weren't fucking self-conscious. You just moved. And usually you had a bottle of beer, a big, you know, quart-sized bottle of beer in your right hand as you danced, and maybe the local women who lived at the hotel, those are your partners, you'd pick one up or they'd pick you up, and you danced often under the moonlight, the great hotels up where Wizzy lived, up in Gongola State. There was a beautiful one. It was all blue on the outside, and it was just the inner side. It was just a row of rooms, a rectangle with rooms where the women lived, and then the interior was just an open courtyard. So you're dancing under the moonlight, and lots of places were like that. Anyway, it was beautiful. So much happened, and I guess maybe gradually, when I started this podcast, I thought it was going to be about my stories. Then I've realized, well, stories can be pretty boring, and everybody's got a life, and not everybody wants to hear your crappy old stories. But I think they're going to sneak in there once in a while, because I have to get them out of me. And I made a point in my life at one time, I thought I was going to be a writer. And so I went out chasing experience. Well, I never did end up writing, but I did end up catching a lot of wonderful experiences, and I do want to share some of those, and Nigeria was one of them. And man, what to say, the great thing is every time I meet a Nigerian now, or somebody from Ghana, or somebody who understands West Africa, it's such a rush, it's so good, and they are thrilled that they can meet an Oyibo, a white man who understands their culture, who knows what egusi soup is, who knows the taste of pounded yam. and goat pepe soup, pounded yam, the women. This was still when I was there in 1980. You'd hear this sound in the village at night. Great big hollowed-out wooden log. And the yam, big lamb, you know, 2 feet long, had been peeled and boiled, and then they stick it in this wooden yam pounder, this hollowed-out log, and they have a great big log to pound down on it, and they get into rhythm, and maybe two of the women would do it together, or a couple of houses would play against each other, and you'd hear like drums in the night, the women, patung, 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 pounding this yam. And then it would come out, you get this soft, gooey, sticky stuff, and you'd buy a piece for 5 kobo, 10 kobo for your lunch, and you use that like your bread to mop up the soup, draw soup with okra, texture of snot, and beautiful taste. And I lived every day in my village. I lived on bushmeat. The man who would go out and hunt at night, strap a lantern onto his hat and go out and catch grass cutter, commonly known as cane rat, and antelope when it was a real treat, you know. And just shoot it, fill a buckshot, and soak it in kerosene, throw it on top of a fire, burn off the fur, the hair, and then his wife would cook it up. And man, that was tasty. And that was a real acquired taste. It took time. That, and then you'd wash it all down with about 5 tumblers of palm wine. I think I mentioned that before. And you just go into this almost a trance of a sleep. And I was so lucky. I mean, they were going to send me to Methodist boys' school in the south of Nigeria where it's hot and swampy. Post got canceled. And instead, I end up at an all-girls school. And let me tell you, whoa, whoa. No, I won't tell you. Not today, anyway. Cousin Zeke and I were out for a walk yesterday. And, on the beaches, East Beaches. Shared a pitcher of beer in the middle of the afternoon, and we recounted a lot of stories of when we were dogs, of all the things we've done, and we celebrated our debauchery. We took some pride in it, because, I don't know, everybody seems to be so damn clean and so conscious of what's right and what's wrong, and I guess when you have kids, you want to sanitize your life a little bit, but we went back. And I guess that's the same about my Nigeria. I've got a lot more tales with a lot more getting into taxis full of women and racing off. I remember fighting with the policeman. You know, they want their tip and you're beating them. And it was just wild, wild, wild. And so damn thrilling. And you were so goddamn alive. Every fucking day you were alive. Every day was a poem. I better stop, I'm getting a head of steam here, I'm going nuts, but it was good. And if that song, if you listen to that and you caught any of the feeling of the rhythm of the, that was your background, and it was just all around, and you had to drink, it was the only way to survive. You drank beer, and you drank ogogoro, and you drank whatever was out there, but anyway, my thanks to the Nigerians for welcoming me into their country and to the Canadian government for creating this CUSO program like the Peace Corps and letting me go, because it was worth it. So I'm going to stop there. Holy shit, we're up to 45 minutes, and I better take a break here, and I'll come back in a minute, okay?
What? What? We're on? Is this live? Well, the problem is this is not a drunken ramble, because I've, it's currently 12:45, and I've been drinking since noon, so I've moved to hungover now. It's a hungover ramble, which, frankly, I'm not familiar with, and I'm thinking probably pretty dull.
I would like an introduction to the next who you are, you know, William of Kent, or,
I need a pseudonym?
Silver White Horse.
I like, can I still have, Charming Rogue? I like that one.
Charming Rogue? Yes, Charming Rogue. I had you as a business dog, a dog. Charming Rogue.
Yeah, it's not unfair, exactly. It lacks the sort of panache.
How about Sir
Drinkalot? Sir Drinkalot is nice.
That's very lame. I told you, no royalties for you. Stop talking. You can't be on air.
Very good one for August 5.
don't know. She's. I think she's. She's probably been scripting that for a while. Don't believe her. I am so gonna burn him when the time comes. Well, what the hell am I supposed to be doing at this point? Or is this it? This is what I'm supposed to be doing, being a complete dick. All right. What I like most about the Dicks and Janes podcast. Well, that would be telling. What I like about the podcast is the personal human element. The fact that I feel this actual connection with someone who's dealing with real life, who's talking about it, and they're just trying to get that out there to share with other people. There's not a persona. There's not an agenda. Yeah, it's like having a friend there with you when you look. You shut the hell up. Do you want me to come over there? I will kick your ass. What was I saying?
Well, no, you said it, man. And I couldn't imagine a nicer way. I don't think a nicer thing ever been said on the show.
Are we still on?
I might stop.
For the love of God, turn it off.
Well, we'll stop there. That's a key.
There's only. There's left.